Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon, a late night shooting in North Raleigh is now being investigated as a homicide. We're live near that scene with what we've learned.
Plus, he struck a deal with the Democrats to keep the government funded, but that could cost him his position. The vote that could put Speaker Kevin McCarthy's job on the line.
And a New York man is in jail without bond after police say he kidnapped a girl at a campsite, the piece of evidence that led authorities to his doorstep. First, that breaking news. Just moments before this newscast, we learned a teenager who was shot off North New Hope Road in Raleigh has died. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is near the scene of the shooting that was active until early this morning. Chelsea, what can you tell us?
Yeah, this is an incident that happened about 6:30 last night where we understand from Raleigh police that a 17-year-old teenage male had been shot. This is where it's happened here at the Lexington-on-the-Green apartment complex off of North New Hope Road. As you mentioned, Raleigh police are now investigating this as a homicide, but no further details, including the identity of the victim, will be released given the age. Let's show you some of that video from last night. This is where they were investigating. You can see crime scene tape around the perimeter. We understand that shooting happened in this parking lot. That juvenile was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. But as you mentioned just moments ago, we have learned from Raleigh police that that teenager has died. Officers, though, were busy throughout the evening and early this morning till about 2:30 collecting evidence in this scene. Right now, though, we should mention, although we know that this male has died, no suspects are in custody. Raleigh police are asking for your help in this investigation. If you saw something or heard something in this area, you're to call Crime Stoppers. Back to you.
So young, the victim, just 17 years old. Chelsea Donovan, thank you. Durham police have identified the woman who was shot and killed on Worth Street. Officers found two women shot yesterday just after 7 a.m. 30-year-old Angela Reese died. The other woman has life-threatening injuries. Police say this appears to be an isolated incident and that the investigation is ongoing.
Fire investigators are searching for the cause of a fire at a home in Cary. Crews worked to put out that fire on Rain Mist Circle near Southwest Cary Parkway this morning. The man who lives there told our crew his pregnant wife and dog got out quickly and everyone is okay. He says he heard the fire alarm and went downstairs and saw the carpet on fire. People in Nash County are on edge after someone put a pipe bomb on a road in Nashville. State and local authorities shut down NC-58 for hours. The FBI used a robot to remove the device and take it to a safe place to detonate it. No one was hurt, but the entire situation left people who live nearby pretty unnerved. The road reopened around 10 last night.
Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty today to federal firearms charges. The president's son is accused of lying on federal forms and illegally possessing a gun while using illicit drugs. Madeline Rivera reports Hunter Biden could face up to 25 years in prison if convicted on all counts. We're getting our first look at the man charged with kidnapping a 9-year-old from a New York campground. This is 46-year-old Craig Ross. State police found Charlotte Senna at his home after they say Ross left a critical clue on a ransom note. NBC's Kathy Park explains.
This morning, 9-year-old Charlotte Senna is back with her family after vanishing from a weekend camping trip in upstate New York.
We're overcome with relief and gratitude for this gift to all of us.
Authorities managed to track down and arrest 47-year-old Craig Nelson Ross Jr. after they recovered a ransom note that had been dropped off at Charlotte's family home early Monday morning.
He literally drove up to the family's mailbox, assuming they were not home, leaving a critical piece of evidence behind, his own fingerprint.
Police entering that fingerprint into their database, discovering a match for a DWI in 1999 in the city of Saratoga. According to police, investigators searched multiple residences before closing in.
They found a double-wide house with a woman, the suspect's mother. The suspect lived in the camper behind. They have what they call a dynamic entry.
Around 6:32 p.m., police had the suspect in custody and immediately located Charlotte in the camper, physically unharmed, inside a cupboard.
She knew she was being rescued. She knew that she was in safe hands.
What were some of the biggest takeaways from this search?
Things can happen in an instant. You know, Charlotte was no more than probably 0.2 miles from where she was camping.
The massive search for Charlotte lasting 2 days, involving more than 400 personnel. Charlotte's family reported her missing Saturday evening when she never returned to their campsite from a bike ride.
We got a miracle.
The news of Charlotte's safe homecoming turned a planned vigil Monday night into prayers answered.
If you can say something to Charlotte right now, would you say?
Oh, honey, welcome home.
That was Kathy Park reporting. Ross is charged with first-degree kidnapping and is being held at Saratoga County Jail without bond.
This morning, the Michigan Supreme Court cleared the way for the parents of a teenager who killed four fellow students to stand trial. James and Jennifer Crumbly are accused of making a gun available to Ethan Crumbly and ignoring his mental health needs. Ethan Crumbly pleaded guilty to terrorism and murder. The 17-year-old, who was 15 at the time of the shooting, will be sentenced December 8th. Indicted Senator Bob Menendez and his wife Nadine will stand trial on corruption charges next year. A federal judge set a May 6th trial date. Nadine Menendez was present in court for Monday's hearing along with three other defendants. The senator was excused to remain in Washington, D.C. for Senate business. The couple is accused of corruption and accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes.
When your child's school gets canceled because of weather, it may have you wondering what the policies are. When Tropical Storm Idalia came through, districts canceled even though their counties were not under a watch or warning or even a wind advisory. WREL asked the school systems what guidelines they follow in making the decision to cancel school in severe weather. The thought process varies from county to county. For example, Nash County schools will not run buses if the winds are too strong. In the end, the safety of students is top priority.
There's a kid sitting somewhere that's going to catch a bus. So how they're sitting in the rain, gust, I always think about that, and it helps me with my decision.
So it's not always about the rain. There are no federal or state recommendations on canceling school due to wind-related conditions. For a closer look at how your child's school system cancels school, check out our web story on WREL.com.
The number of hurricanes tends to drop off toward the end of October, with El Nino suppressing hurricane activity, but it might not be the case this year. More storms could possibly develop in the open ocean, where temperatures are unusually warm right now. Experts also say they are in uncharted waters and are struggling to make confident forecasts. The Atlantic storm season has had 18 named storms so far, which is already above average. We're just, meantime, enjoying above-average weather here this week for sure.
We're going to get into the 80s once again today, but certainly beautiful out there. Meteorologist Amy Wilbon has a look at Chapel Hill.
It's gorgeous outside. We're going to take a check on the tropics coming up in the next half hour. Overall, it's pretty quiet. We have one storm we're watching. But this view is from Chapel Hill, Top of the Hill restaurant. Lots of folks milling around in between classes, heading to lunch. It's beautiful. It's a good day to have lunch outside. Temperatures are pretty comfortable, but warming up. Upper 70s now in Raleigh and Durham, 73 in Lewisburg, 78 degrees right now in Siler City. Down to the south, temperatures are also in the upper 70s at 78 in Fayetteville, 78 in Goldsboro, and 79 right now in Rayford. We expect high temperatures in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Our normal high is 78, so we'll be above that today. 82 for the high in Durham and in Raleigh, 85 for the high temperature in Fayetteville. So it's warm this afternoon. This evening, temperatures will cool down. It's comfortable if you want to do some outside decorating for fall or maybe have some outdoor exercise you want to do. 79 at 5 o'clock, mostly sunny. 77 at 6 o'clock, and then by 7 o'clock we're down to 74 with mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. This is the next weather maker that we're tracking. It's a pretty strong cold front that arrives over the weekend, Friday into Saturday. It brings a big drop in our temperatures, and that's going to be the biggest impact from this system. We could be down into the 40s by Sunday morning. Brings a small chance for a couple of showers. We're going to talk about our rain chances coming up in the next half hour. Right now, we're keeping it at just 20% chance. The bigger thing you'll notice is the drop in the temperatures. We'll be in the low 80s for the next 3 days. The normal's 78. We'll be right on track for normal Friday, and then we drop it down to 73 for the high Saturday. Sunday, our high temperatures likely stay in the 60s. And then morning lows, you'll really feel the difference Sunday morning if you're out early enough. We'll be in the 50s and 60s for the next several days, but by Sunday morning, 49 for the low temperature. That's about 10 degrees cooler compared to normal. And then Monday morning, it will be even cooler. This is a look at the potential low temperatures for Monday. We could wake up to temperatures in the mid-40s in the Triangle, 47 in Fayetteville. So it'll be a chilly start to the work week. If you're planning to do some tailgating this weekend, we have a lot of home football games and the weather looks good. We only have a 20% chance for rain, and I think that comes early in the day. Well, partly sunny skies with temperatures in the low 70s for all of these games, all of them in the afternoon. So some nice football weather. With the cooler temperatures also, we're noticing some changes in our leaf colors. We're starting to see a little bit of a change in the colors here locally, but patchy color from about 4,000 feet and higher. So the higher elevation's really starting to look pretty. Seen some pretty pictures coming in from the North Carolina mountains of the colors changing there. The average peak fall color for us is around early November for most of the viewing area. With the cool temperatures settling in this weekend into next week, I think we'll start to see more and more color. Still warm for the next several days, but here comes that drop in the temperatures over the weekend. 68 and sunny on Sunday, and then Monday mostly sunny with highs near 70. Not a bad forecast for the next 7 days, all the way through the weekend.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some news out of Florida. An update here, an 11-year-old boy allegedly shot two 13-year-olds at a football practice in Florida last night. This was the scene. This happened in Apopka, which is just near Orlando. The alleged shooter, the 11-year-old, was arrested and booked on a single charge of second-degree attempted murder. The young suspect and victims had fought at practice. That is when the dispute spilled over into the parking lot. The 11-year-old then got a gun from his mother's car and fired one shot. That one shot round hitting one boy in the arm and the other in the torso. Those two young boys, those two 13-year-olds, are in stable condition today, but an 11-year-old has been arrested and booked.
Unbelievable. Visitors in London may have the chance to explore the city's mile-long series of underground tunnels. The tunnels were built in the 1940s as bomb shelters during World War II. They were later used by Britain's spy agencies. If plans are approved later this fall, the tunnels will be transformed into a tourist attraction with immersive screens and interactive structures. Organizers plan to open the site in 2027. October isn't just for Halloween. It is the unofficial start of the holiday shopping season. You can save big bucks if you plan ahead. Today at 4, Five on Your Side shows you where the deals are and what not to buy in the month of October.
And it's been 2.5 months since a tornado tore through parts of Nash and Edgecombe counties. Today at 5, we'll check in on how the rebuilding process is going as the weather starts to turn cooler. Well, still ahead this noon, every missing person deserves to be found. That's the premise of a new series debuting tonight here on WREL. Coming up, the lead actor talks about what drew her to the character. Plus.
Not too early to hear that, right? Also, Mariah Carey giving fans a special gift this Christmas. How you can see the proclaimed Queen of Christmas in person.
Welcome back. A live look at Fayetteville right now. We have blue skies in Cumberland County. Loving that. We're headed towards 80 degrees today for a high.
The proclaimed Queen of Christmas is getting into the holiday spirit. Mariah Carey is gearing up for her Merry Christmas One and All tour. The tour kicks off in California on November 15th and concludes December 17th at Madison Square Garden in New York City. If you want to see her, you'll have to travel. The closest stop to us is in Baltimore. and you know she'll be singing the song. Pre-sale tickets to Merry Christmas One and All Tour go on sale tomorrow. The general public can purchase tickets Friday through Live Nation. A Florida lawmaker wants to designate part of a road as Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway to honor the musician. Buffett died on September 1st at the age of 76. The bill will be considered during the next legislative session that begins in January.
A new round of blind auditions is on tap tonight with The Voice, and that's followed by a brand new scripted drama, Found. It's about a team that looks for missing persons, often after law enforcement has stopped. In an interview taped before the current actor strike, Mark Barger talked to series star Shanola Hampton about her new show.
We find missing people who have slipped through the cracks, and we bring them home.
It's a mission that's deeply personal for Gabby Mosley in NBC's new drama, Found, because as a teen, the character slipped through those very same cracks.
Everybody should have been looking for her. Where were they?
The teenage Mosley saved herself from her kidnapper, and that fuels her passion as an adult to find the missing, especially those of color.
These girls were taken together. There's nothing like having a personal experience with something, right?
Shanola Hampton plays Mosley, who assembles a crisis management team of similarly traumatized souls.
It's like she disappeared into thin air.
Nobody saw this person.
A group that works on the legal fringes.
Do I even want to know how many laws you just broke?
Nope.
We'll deal with the consequences a little bit later, because at that moment, the clock is ticking and we have to find our victims.
But Hampton's character secretly is even more extreme, keeping her own kidnapper, known as Sir, played by Mark Paul Gosselaar, captive in her basement.
We make quite the partnership, don't we?
We're not partners.
But she does use his criminal insight.
Did that change your opinion of her?
Definitely didn't change my opinion of her. And all it did was add that extra layer, that layer that makes you question yourself, because you see it and you say, I mean, it's not right, but is it right?
Regardless of the answer, Hampton promises,
you're going on a ride. It's going to be great.
Mark Barger, NBC News.
Is it right? It is Found, and it premieres tonight at 10 after The Voice here on WRAL.
Makes you want to go on that ride.
Yeah.
It is day two of the civil fraud trial against former President Donald Trump. The choice words he had for New York's Attorney General prior to today's hearing.
Plus, a historic decision could alter the future of the Catholic Church. We'll examine the upcoming meeting giving women a voice at the Vatican. And here,
shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We continue this noon with the legal challenges that continue for former President Donald Trump. Just 30 minutes ago, NBC learned the former president plans to testify at his $250 million civil fraud case.
The trial involves Trump, his oldest sons, and his company, and could prevent him from doing business in New York in the future. Jay Gray joins us from outside New York State Supreme Court in Manhattan.
Hey there, and look, day one of this high-profile, high-stakes case was really locked in legal and financial jargon, a lot of figures, a lot of talk about investments and holdings. Former President Trump is back inside this lower Manhattan courthouse today, the leading contender for the 2024 Republican nomination, skipping the campaign trail for day two of his fraud trial. Mr. Trump, his two adult sons and associates, accused of misrepresenting the net worth of his holdings by billions to secure better corporate loans and insurance rates. He is not required to be here. The former president, though, says he is in the courtroom to, quote, fight for my name and reputation. Last week, the judge in this case ruling Mr. Trump, his sons, and businesses are liable in the civil action. New York Attorney General Letitia James is seeking $250 million in fines, and perhaps even more crippling for Mr. Trump, a ban on his doing business in New York. The former president continues to say this case and four separate criminal indictments against him are politically motivated, and insists he's innocent of all the charges he is facing. The trial here expected to last about 3 months, and both prosecutors and the defense have included the former president on their witness list. Now, that doesn't mean he will take the witness stand. It doesn't mean he's going to testify, though he has said repeatedly he is anxious to speak before this judge. That is the latest here in New York. I'm Jay Gray, Now back to you.
The case, which does not have a jury and will be decided solely by the judge, the verdict could have widespread implications for the former president's businesses.
Also today, Hunter Biden appeared in court on firearms charges, accused of lying on federal forms and illegally possessing a gun while using illicit drugs. Prosecutors may ask for certain conditions of his release while he awaits trial. This is the first time a child of the sitting president will appear in court to fight criminal charges. He pleaded not guilty. It also comes amid the impeachment inquiry into President Biden for allegedly profiting off of Hunter's foreign business deals. Republicans have failed to produce any evidence to support the claim.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Wilson, and Moore counties. If you're curious about the future plans of Carrboro, there's an opportunity for you to get your questions answered. The town's Planning, Zoning, and Inspections Department will hold three open houses. They will be talking about parking and transportation, climate action, and other future projects. You can visit Town Hall tomorrow morning from 8 to 10 to talk about the upcoming plans, or Thursday from 5:30 to 7 p.m. or at the Farmers Market on Saturday.
People in the town of Lucama are seeing a big spike in their electricity bills. Some say theirs have even doubled. People there have asked town leaders for answers. And the town administrator says Lucama needed to raise the electric rate to cover a deficit. The cost mostly fell on residents. After the public hearing ended with no clear solution, people there held an impromptu meeting outside, and they said they would take their complaints to the state regulatory commission.
If you're planning to visit downtown Pinehurst today, you'll want to know about this road closure. A portion of Cherokee Road near the James W. Tufts Memorial Park will close today until 7 tonight. Sidewalks will still be open if you're walking. This is part of the Village of Pinehurst downtown resurfacing project.
Wake County leaders are setting aside millions of dollars to fund new affordable housing in Raleigh. The Board of Commissioners approved funding the 919 at Crosslink development near the intersection of Crosslink Road and Rock Quarry Road. The county is committing $3 million to the $43 million project. It includes 142 units affordable to families earning between 30 to 70% of the area's median income, which is $117,000. The rent ranges from $637 to $2,062 a month. The county hopes this development will have a groundbreaking next year.
Tomorrow, Pope Francis will begin a three-week meeting of bishops to discuss the future of the Catholic Church. Topics include women's roles, LGBTQ Catholics, the celibacy of priests, and more. Jackie Ibanez reports, for the first time, women participating in the meeting will get to vote on these matters after demanding their voices be heard.
The Catholic Church has been around for centuries, but this week could signal the start of new changes that may alter the church's future, especially when it comes to giving women a voice in religious matters.
There are 700 million Catholic women around the world, and so it's time that the church actually listened to them.
Pope Francis will open the Synod of Bishops on October 4th. It's a three-week-long meeting where religious leaders share experiences and counsel the Pope on issues affecting the church. In the past, women were only allowed to watch, but for the first time, 54 women attending will be allowed to vote on a variety of church topics, including whether to give women leadership roles, LGBTQ Catholics, and the celibacy of priests.
To change the church, and this synod is focusing on that, you need both a change of culture, of mindset. It's about attitude, education, and it's not easy.
Instead of putting women at the back of a hall, those attending the synod will all be sitting at neutral round tables to help with conversations.
They want their voices to be heard, not just towards decision making, but also during decision making. Women want to be part of that.
Some critics caution against the change, arguing it creates opportunities for division in the church.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Synod participants will share their views with Pope Francis, who will call a second session next year where he'll approve or reject their recommendations.
Still to come this noon, how your posts on Facebook and Instagram are helping train artificial intelligence.
Plus, Dish Network becomes the first company to get slapped with a fine for space junk, what the government says it failed to do with its satellite.
Retail theft is not just a problem here in the U.S., it's an international problem. Now, some retailers in Britain are giving their employees body cameras to deter shoplifters. One retail chain says shoplifting and violence has reached epidemic proportions in Britain. The leading grocery chain there says it invested more than $55 million on security measures in 4 years, including door access systems, digital radios, and surveillance cameras. Meta admits using Facebook and Instagram posts to train its artificial intelligence models. The company says it has tried to exclude data sets that have a heavy amount of personal information. Meta says you own all the content and information you post, but if you make a post public, as many do by default, it becomes available for all sorts of purposes that you can't control. Meta believes its use of posts to train AI is covered by the legal doctrine of fair use.
Here's a first. Dish Network didn't want to claim. The Federal Communications Commission announced a settlement with the company for the first ever penalty regarding space junk. The company admitted it did not dispose of its EchoStar 7 satellite properly, and it'll pay a $150,000 fine. The FCC says Dish retired the satellite about 76 miles away from its operating orbit instead of the 186 miles it stated in its orbital debris mitigation plan. Tomorrow afternoon, the government will test millions of cell phones across the nation. It'll be yours, no doubt. FEMA and the FCC will issue the alert at 2:20 p.m. Cell towers will broadcast the test for about approximately 30 seconds. You should also receive a test saying it is only a test. A widespread severe weather or significant event postponed tomorrow's test. Potentially, the backup testing date is October 11th.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Coming up, how you can join the local effort to help fund research and programs for those affected.
Embrace yourself. The 40s are making a comeback. Well, it's fall, after all, but that's pretty low. Amy Wilmoth returns with the forecast.
Our weather is bright and sunny as you're looking live at Dix Park in Raleigh. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. As we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, it's important that we bring attention to health concerns.
Colorectal cancers and breast cancers are on the rise in the Hispanic community. And one of those reasons may be from lack of screening.
Hispanic and Latino people are less likely to be diagnosed with lung, colon, breast, and prostate cancers than non-Hispanic white men and women. Doctors say access to care and past experiences contribute to the increase. But early screening can prevent future serious health issues.
Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia, causing problems with memory, thinking, and behavior. Right now, there are nearly 7 million Americans aged 65 and over living with the disease. This Saturday, hundreds of people in the Triangle will join the Walk to End Alzheimer's here in Raleigh to raise awareness and money for research. WRL is a proud community partner of this event, and joining us to talk about the Triangle Walk to End Alzheimer's is Lisa Roberts. Good afternoon, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Jeff. Thank you so much for having us. We are a proud partner with WRAL. Really appreciate your partnership.
And we are excited for it as well. I know as the executive director of the Eastern North Carolina chapter, the whole list of events is very exciting. Registration, 9 a.m., opening ceremony, 10 a.m. for the walk. Halifax Mall is the place. How long are folks walking?
They're walking, it's about 1.26 miles. So it's a loop around the Capitol, beautiful downtown Raleigh. So it's a walk on sidewalks. It's accessible. So everyone is welcome to walk or not to walk. We'll have plenty of opportunities to enjoy the walk if you are just want to come out as well.
Yeah, it's a good way to show support. It's a fundraiser. Where does the money go specifically?
The money goes to care, support, research. You know, Alzheimer's, as you mentioned, impacts so many people, not just globally, but nationwide. And here in North Carolina, we're looking at over 180,000 people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or related dementia. So the money goes to providing free education and support, to increasing our funding for research and basically to be in the community as we are. So to conduct these kind of awareness events and make sure that everyone has access for those who have been impacted or unfortunately those who will be impacted.
When you talk about awareness, studies show that older Black Americans are twice as likely to have Alzheimer's as older white Americans. Have researchers determined the reason for this?
Jeff, that's a great question. They have done lots of studies. Some of it is environmental, and some is based on comorbidities. There are some populations like our Hispanic, Latino, our African-American populations who have a higher incidence of high blood pressure or vascular disease and so forth. So they do believe that is connected. There's a heart-brain connection for sure. So it is in everyone's best interest to see an end of Alzheimer's.
How about rain or shine? I know it's supposed to be a little bit cool. We'll walk quickly, but it's a rain or shine event?
It is rain or shine. We will be out there. Check-in starts at 9 a.m. And we'll have a wonderful ceremony, a Promise Garden ceremony, which is a really beautiful mission-based ceremony unique to the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Everyone gets a free Promise Garden flower, which signifies their connection to the disease and how they honor their loved ones who have been impacted by this disease.
Yeah, we know
so the ceremony
it is
starts at 10.
We certainly know it's a family disease. It affects everyone in the
Absolutely.
Family and their community. WRAL's Chris Lee will serve as the MC. We are proud community partners. Lisa, we are so happy to be joining up with you, and we wish you great success. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you so much, and we hope to see everyone out on Saturday at Halifax Mall. We are going to have a great event, live entertainment, and for kids, we have a pet zone. It's really going to be an engaging, family-friendly event.
Looking forward to it. Lisa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
An important and beautiful mission there and beautiful weather out there. Here's a live look at North Hills, but a lot of folks are having lunch outside, maybe getting some Ben and Jerry's ice cream. After all, we're going to get into the 80s on the warm side for October, Amy.
It is. It's going to be a little warm this afternoon, a little bit above normal, but pretty nice outside. We do have some puffy clouds out there. This is another live picture from Wake Forest. Overall, just a very nice afternoon. Here's a look at the visible satellite to kind of show you where we have the clouds, just some puffy little cumulus clouds dotting the landscape, especially in the northern half, and then as you move to the southeastern part of the viewing area as well. But still a lot of sunshine. That's warming us up. We're at 79 now in Raleigh and in Durham, 75 in Lewisburg, 79 in South Hill, Virginia, 77 in Wilson, and 78 degrees in Goldsboro. Down to the south, temperatures are in the upper 70s as well, getting close to 80 in Rayford, 79 there. It is 80 degrees now in Clinton. So it is pretty warm out there this afternoon. It's going to be nice, though. The humidity is not that bad. We'll have mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies at times. Our high temperature up to 82. This evening, very comfortable weather. We'll be in the low 70s at 7 o'clock, back down into the upper 60s by 8 o'clock. So have dinner outside, maybe do something outdoors if you can today. Just very, very nice weather. The reason we have the nice weather is thanks to this area of high pressure that's to the north of us over Pennsylvania. It's driving in a northeasterly flow, keeping the humidity fairly low, and also just bringing us some really nice weather. Where we don't have the nice weather is back to the west along a cold front, and that's where we have the potential for severe storms. This is the same front that will impact us Friday into Saturday, and then it'll turn cooler Sunday. But as it gets here, it really weakens, and we don't have big rain chances with this. Just a 20% chance for rain Friday and early Saturday. We don't expect widespread rain. We'll get high-resolution model data starting tomorrow for Friday. We'll have a better idea of the timeline and how widespread the rain might be. But here's a look at Futurecast, the American model showing some scattered showers at lunchtime on Friday, especially in the eastern half of the viewing area. This is what it was showing early this morning as well, so it hasn't really wavered much. 9 o'clock this Friday evening, looking pretty dry for those Friday night football games. Wouldn't rule out a couple of sprinkles, maybe an isolated shower. Overnight Friday into Saturday, a few sprinkles, maybe a light shower Saturday morning, and then the drier air will start to move in. We have a lot of home football games for college over the weekend on Saturday. The weather looks pretty good for those. close. Checking in on the tropics, Tropical Storm Philippe. This is as of 11 o'clock this morning. Weakened just a little bit. Winds down to 45 miles per hour. And the track continues to shift a little bit to the west. Bermuda is right in the middle of this track now. Looks like it could move over Bermuda as a tropical storm, not expected to become a hurricane. And then it could make landfall near Nova Scotia over the weekend. Instead of making that curve back out to sea, models indicating that it might keep going northwest for a bit. So again, impacting parts of Nova Scotia and perhaps parts of Canada. For us, it's going to not impact the United States. Very quiet weather for the next several days, just a slim chance for rain with that front. And look at what it does to the temperatures. Much cooler this weekend, 40s in the forecast by Sunday morning.
Amy, thanks. Today may be Taco Tuesday, but we give you permission to indulge in tacos 2 days in a row. From tortillas to the filling of your choice, why you can enjoy all things taco tomorrow as well.
I'm in.
Okay.
And your winning numbers here for Powerball on your screen. It is 12, 26, 27, 43, 47. Powerball's five, multipliers two.